welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you.
Live
from Toronto at Fantasy Sports Network Studios. Some huge news yesterday concerning J.J. Watt. So we're going to bring in Jason Braddock, who's down in Houston. We're going to get the reaction, the diagnosis, and what to expect from him going forward, and not just this season, in his career. But before that, Brandon Marion Lee from Pro Football Focus joins us to talk about some quarterbacks to avoid depending on their defensive matchups week by week. But first,
some big names too.
Some huge names.
Yeah,
some huge names.
Might
and
drop a bomb.
Continuing with our big names though, Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell.
He's back, baby.
Yes. I can't wait. This is the most exciting running back in all of football. I think he's the best. Guess where I have him ranked this week, Ashley?
Probably one?
Number one. Le'Veon Bell, number one. Yes, I love this guy. He's just awesome. And Tomlin just says expect a lot of Le'Veon Bell against the Chiefs this weekend. So, I mean, the Chiefs, you look at them, allowing 4.2 yards per carry, 123 yards per game. That's not great. Not great numbers. Going up against Gordon, Miller, and Forte. They kind of shut down Forte last week, and Miller didn't find the end zone, but he had an okay game, and Gordon had a couple touchdowns in that opening week. But yeah, Le'Veon Bell is just awesome. He makes the whole offense roll. You saw how good D'Angelo Williams was in two of the three games that he played. Fantastic. Le'Veon Bell is even better than D'Angelo Williams. So owners that have him and drafted him, now's the time. You got him. Awesome. Congrats.
Even better news. His conditioning is said to be on point, and he's been around the team the whole time, so there's going to be no problem integrating himself into the offense. It should be smooth sailing. I can't imagine anyone has him ranked lower than a top three running back this week.
Right, and I still wouldn't drop D'Angelo Williams. I mean, it could happen, and Bell's had two significant injuries.
Yep.
He's already been suspended twice in his career, so something could happen where he's just gone again this season. So if you have D'Angelo Williams, don't be in a hurry to cut him. Flirt with some trades, maybe to
Thank
a Bell
you.
Owner.
I was going to say.
I definitely wouldn't drop him. Yeah, I mean, you're probably 2-0 or 3-0 or 2-1 now that you drafted
Williams. We talked about this just the other day, and we were going over the YouTube comments, and people are losing their minds. Dropping Williams, are you crazy? Bell's going to get hurt for sure. Guys, listen to us when we talk. No one said to drop him. We said he's a perfect handcuff. You can try and trade him to a Bell owner as the handcuff and get the complimentary piece, or keep him on your bench. We didn't say get rid of him. Send him to the waiver wire. Pick up Kenyon Drake. Yeah, good job. Good job.
Maybe you should, though, pick up Kenyon Drake. Because Arian Foster's not playing.
Arian Foster is not playing. Again, he missed practice on Tuesday, and he won't play Thursday against Cincinnati, which, I mean, isn't the best thing for the backfield in Miami. Cincinnati has the 14th ranked run defense, and they're going to continue to go with a barrage of players in that backfield. It's a bad fantasy situation. And it's bad news for Arian Foster owners. The over-under for how many games you were going to get out of Foster was around 5 or 6. That's what most people were saying, like, before he gets injured again. Obviously, it was a lot lower than that. So,
like,
we kind of expected it, though, but it just happened sooner than we expected.
Did it?
Yeah.
This guy got one game. I mean, it's crazy. Arian Foster is so fragile. We talked about this so much before. It's like, why would you even bother drafting this guy? There's no real reason to. On the flip side of that, if you're really hurting in the back situation and if he's on the waiver wire, maybe I'd pick him up, and you're just hopeful that he plays one game down the stretch where he can help you get one win. This is not great. But yeah, as you mentioned, Drake is the guy. I got Dixon on my mind because he's back on the football field today. Kenneth Dixon dealing with a knee injury. And we talked to Brad Evans before about, he said he's the most talented back in that backfield in Baltimore, and I agree with him. So if he's hanging around your waiver wire, you need to go and grab him too. So good news that he's back on the field. We thought that Tyler Eifert was going to play, perhaps, tomorrow. Not going to happen.
False.
He's still dealing with that ankle injury. Not good news for him, but it looks like positive news that he's been able to get back in the football field and take some snaps and practice and catch some balls, run some routes. So that's really good news. You're going to get him back in a couple weeks. You draft him at a discount. I mean, I saw him go in like the 10th, 11th round. I mean, look at the touchdowns last year from this guy. 13. Phenomenal stuff. The tight end position has been so mediocre so far this year. So for whatever reason, you're playing in a 10-man league.
And he's available.
You're playing in an 8
eight-man league. We need to get some friends. But you can pick up Eifert if he's available. He's going to get some touchdowns again.
I will say this, though. They're expecting him to come back week five when Cincinnati takes on Dallas. Dallas has the second-ranked defense in fantasy points per game against tight ends. They also allow the least receptions, the least amount of yards, the least amount of targets to tight end. Plus, when Eifert comes back, he'll probably be on a snap count. So if you have another option, maybe roll that out week five when he first comes back.
It's like Gronk.
Just to kind of hedge your bets.
It's like Gronk. When Gronk comes back, he came back last week. He hardly played. I mean, he had one target. But I will say, you know, that's a good stat that you have. But Dallas did struggle against Zach Miller last week, who had two touchdowns. So
it's
something to keep an eye on for sure.
All right. Jimmy Garoppolo is probably playing. Maybe. Ed Werder said he's hopeful that he'll be back for week four. Brissett was wearing a protective cover on his hand on Tuesday. So needless to say, it's a shaky quarterback situation in New England. But it will be better news if Garoppolo can play over Brissett. Although Brissett did a great job. He did a fine job.
I'll be at this game live. I will be there in the stands hoping that Julian Edelman gets some snaps.
Stop.
Why? Wouldn't that be so cool to see Edelman have
after
a couple
Pryor,
snaps?
Yeah.
I mean, why not? I mean, he's thrown a touchdown pass before.
His dad said he's worried about him. Did you read that?
Who, worried about Edelman?
Yeah, his dad said,
he should be.
I don't know about his throwing mechanics because he had to put on a little bit of weight to be a receiver in the NFL, so he might throw up a few ducks. His dad thinks he's going to be bad.
Yeah. jokes aside, Garoppolo looked awesome against Miami in that first half of the football game. I mean, he threw three touchdowns. He looked really, really well. He's got a ton of weapons to work with. I know there's only two teams on bye. Probably not a lot of people own Carson Wentz, but no, they probably owned Aaron Rodgers. It's not something that I would go ahead and do, but I mean, in two quarterback leagues, I can get behind it for sure. Let's get to Hunter Renfrow. Also, Joique Bell signed with Chicago Bears. I wouldn't worry about it. He's not that good of a football player.
Wow.
He's not.
Shots fired.
Do you think he is? 3.5 yards per carry last season. Again, Chicago is just not going to move the ball all that much, so I just wouldn't bother wasting my time. Maybe it cuts into Jordan Howard a little bit, but it is what it is.
And your man crush. Too bad it's not Monday. Man crush Monday, but today.
Hey, he might win
Hunter
me a fantasy
Renfrow.
Baseball championship.
7 RBI yesterday.
3-run shot and a grand slam. He's got three homers already. He's got an ISO that's like 600. He's awesome. I know you want to use your moves in championship week for pitchers, but if you're hurting for bats, then he can probably help you out.
If you're hurting for bats, if you're hurting for backs, Brandon Marion Lee talks about Wendell Smallwood, also Paul Perkins, after the break. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Brandon Marion Lee joins us now from Pro Football Focus to talk a little bit about some running back by committee situations, as well as some quarterbacks to target or to avoid, depending on their matchup. Hello, Brandon.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Very well.
We're doing really good. You wrote a couple articles on ProFootballFocus.com. I encourage everyone to go to the website and check it out under the Fantasy tab. And one of the articles was just like against the grain plays for week four and just looking ahead. I know we tried to get people, Brendan, to come on the show and talk Wendell Smallwood. Nobody wanted to talk Smallwood. Now everybody just wants to talk Wendell Smallwood. But it's interesting because Ryan Matthews again dinged up in that football game against the Steelers. Two carries, negative yards. Was dealing with an ankle injury. Now people are starting to drop him coming off a bye. Would you drop him? On the flip side of that, if you see him hanging around your waiver wire, would you pick him up?
Yeah, I'm picking him up. I'm buying him low. I think what's most curious is that he wasn't on the injury report. Not great. Actually, he came out, I guess, on the field with a heavily taped ankle. And yes, you know, two carries for negative 5 yards. So what happened is, he had a bad performance, he's injured, and he's on a bye. So people are gonna drop him. I don't even think you need to trade for him. You don't need to buy at all. You just pick him up. Just pick him up because people have to do desperate things during bye weeks. They do weird what have you. They're all worried about Wendell Smallwood. They're all worried about even Kenjon Barner, certainly Darren Sproles. But the guy scored 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks, and they have come out and said that he is still the lead back, that they will spread the ball around. But frankly, with his injury history, I think that could be a good thing. Again, I think that's fine. We are in a terrible running back situation right now in the league. So I'm keeping these guys that their coaches come out and say that the lead back because they have value.
Yes. So you have no interest in Kendall Smallwood at all? You think everyone's kind of overreacting to that?
I mean, I have a little bit of interest on like a weekly basis, maybe. I think that there's a possibility, though, that Ryan Matthews is going to come back after the bye completely healthy.
Yeah, it is positive news, like you said, Brandon, that the fact that he is actually getting those goal line carries, if he's not going to get, you know, 15, 20 touches, at least when Philly moves the ball and they get in the red zone, he's going to find the end zone, and that will help you out a little bit.
Well, he did get 22 carries in week one. In week two, it dropped to 9, but now we know why. He was hurt. We didn't know that before, so we just thought, oh, no, it's going to be a huge committee situation. I don't know. I think he's going to go closer to the 20 than to the 9 when he's fully healthy.
I wonder what you think the splits are going to be this week, because we saw Rashad Jennings miss last week, even though he said he was going to play with an injured hand. The snap count went like this. Shane Vereen, 35 snaps. Orleans Darkwad, 21. And then Rainey had 8. With Vereen out, Jennings questionable. How do you think that could go? And do you think Paul Perkins at some point could get at least a role that can contribute a little bit fantasy-wise in this offense?
Yes and yes. I think Orleans Darkwa is going to, unfortunately, be the guy. I'm not quite sure that I'm in love with that pick, but I think it is what it is. As far as Paul Perkins is concerned, I actually think that he's a great and exciting player. One of the only problems, though, if you look at the Pro Football Focus evaluation on him when he was coming out of college, is, don't be shocked, because he's a rookie, pass protection. Yeah. So they were going to want to protect Eli. You know, the passing game is very important to the Giants and to the Ben McAdoo offense. So I'm a little worried about that, especially his first game out. But hey, again, running backs are dropping like flies out there. So certainly go pick him up if he's available. I think that's fine. But I wouldn't have high expectations his first week out.
And the one knock, I guess, Brendan, on Rashad Jennings, much like Matthews, is both of these guys have issues staying off the injury report. They both seem to be banged up a lot. Let's move to quarterbacks. You wrote another article on Pro Football Focus talking about quarterbacks and just big name quarterbacks who are really struggling this season because of their offensive line. Let's start with Andrew Luck. If you're an Andrew Luck owner, you probably drafted him pretty high, counting on a bounce back season. Again, Moncrief, one of his favorite targets, is out, and the offensive line has just been awful. He's getting pressured. What do you do with Luck? I mean, would you not play him in a situation where he was up against a tough defense like maybe Minnesota? We saw what he was able to do against Denver. Nothing.
Yeah, it's really bad. I think, first of all, you know, we're going to talk, I think, also about how defenses matter. You know, sometimes we just say, whatever, I'll just plug them in. And let me tell you, if you're plugging in someone against Denver or Minnesota or even Philadelphia, you felt some pain. The problem with Andrew Luck is that he has been under pressure 42.3% of his dropbacks. That is number one in the league. Worse, though, is that he's only completing 43.5% of those passes that he attempts on those dropbacks where he's under pressure. Okay. So that means he's only making a quarter of these particular, half of a half. I don't like that completion percentage there. So the problem is, it's just he's not very effective under pressure. Unlike Blake Bortles, actually, who completes 57.5% of his passes under pressure. Now, I mean, Blake Bortles, you know, we had issues there too. but certainly the offensive line is not helping out Andrew Luck. And, you know, in the preseason, and I was kind of getting some flack because I never ranked Andrew Luck above 7th on the season. And everyone was like, that is crazy. He's back. It's going to be fine. I said, well, I don't think that they have improved enough around him with the weapons, with the line, to make him better than he was in 2015. And unfortunately, that's kind of coming true so far. So I'm a little worried. I don't love streaming someone that I think is going to be under pressure, under duress, for the entirety of the game.
Blake Bortles, you just touched on Blake Bortles there. Just a little bit. I mean, Luck and Bortles going to go head-to-head this weekend in London. If Bortles doesn't have a good game against the Colts secondary, who's a little bit depleted, would you just cut your ties with him and just stream quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think he's in the streaming category.
Okay.
I think that, frankly, the top four or the top five quarterbacks that are playing under pressure right now are Andrew Luck, Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Tannehill, Russell Wilson, and Blake Bortles. And normally I would say you don't want to stream Russell Wilson, but with his injury, he cannot move around the field. But Blake Bortles is in that category. I just think they're all streamers because they're just not getting the protection that they need. And certainly Blake Bortles for two seasons has led the league league in sacks. You know, this is not new news, but the problem is he's just not getting the same productivity that he did before. And we all thought the productivity would go down because their defense would somehow magically get better. Well, that didn't really happen, but the productivity still went down. And the problem is a lot of that was based on touchdowns. And we always say touchdowns are tough to predict. Well, here we are.
I agree with you on the Russell Wilson information. It's a second injury already, and it's increased severity from his last one. We saw him hobbling around with his ankle injury. A sprained MCL is nothing to play with, especially for someone who depends so much on his agility. But we only have about 45 minutes left. Let's get in.
Seconds.
I wish we could talk to you for 45 minutes. Honest to goodness. 45 seconds left. Probably about 30 now. But let's just talk some defenses. No matter who the quarterback is, there's three defenses that you pinpointed in your article that should make you second guess starting any quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I think that the problem right now is that, you know, the Minnesota Vikings are just killing everybody. They have now already, so 2 sacks week 1, 5 in week 2, 8 in week 3. That's versus Cam Newton. That's insane. They have 5 interceptions on the season, 4 fumble recoveries, 2 touchdowns. They are insane. And the problem is no one is scoring on them. And Denver, yes, that first half, they absolutely gave up points to Cam Newton. Since then, no one's gone over 11 fantasy points.
Wow.
You know, that's just ugly. And so I think that it's just time. And then Philadelphia, we all saw what they did to Pittsburgh, which was just devastating to a lot of our fantasy teams. But that's a reality. The Philadelphia Eagles had a defense that had a bad rap because they were playing under a Chip Kelly offense. So what happened is they were always on the field because Chip Kelly's offense never held on to the ball. So of course they got exhausted and gave up a lot of points at the end. But the players and the talent were always there, and now they're able to showcase themselves under Doug Peterson's leadership.
All right.
Love it. It's all about situations. Thank you so much, Brandon. We got to get out of here. We'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
You too. Make sure you guys check out all of Brandon Marion Lee's stuff, profootballfocus.com. There's a lot of good information from the folks over there. And we're expecting a lot of good information from one Jason Braddock, who joins us after the break. It's a good day on Fantasy Sports Today when we can get Jason Braddock from Sports Talk 790 in Houston on the show. Not only does he have all the inside information, he's just got one of those accents that make you smile.
That we love.
We love.
What's
Hi, Jason.
On?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Yeah, we're doing good, man. We're doing good. I know when I was talking to you yesterday about some topics, J.J. Watt wasn't brought up. So clearly we're going to lead with him because he's just placed on IR. At least he's going to be out for at least 8 weeks, going to be reevaluated. But how concerned are you with this injury? I mean, he had off-season surgery to repair a herniated disc in his back, and now he's dealing with the same injury. Can he come back this year? And, I mean, there's some question marks if this guy's even going to be the same beast in the future, if he's ever going to be able to get back on the football field. What's your take on all this?
Yeah, it's definitely concerning long term. I know a lot of people are focusing on the short term and saying the AFC South is now back, you know, it's back open for business to the Titans, the Colts, and the Jaguars. And I would disagree with that. J.J. Watt hasn't looked like himself or anything close to himself throughout this season, and the Texans defense has looked like one of the better defenses in the entire NFL. So if anything, in the short term, the Texans will actually be better against the run because J.J. Watt has been a non-factor for the most part when playing on the interior. That being said, that's not to take away from J.J. Watt and who we know of him in his past, but he hasn't been that guy this year, so it makes a lot of sense to go ahead and shelf him, but there is a lot of cause for concern with what this means long-term, whether he comes back this year or whether he comes back in 2017. Is he going to get back to that level of what he played at?
I believe he had his surgery in July, Jason. Did he come back too soon? Was there maybe some whispers in his ear from the organization, or he's just that kind of guy who doesn't want to miss a game, but he pushed himself maybe a little too much too soon?
JJ's always going to try to be on the field. You know, this will be the first game he's missed in his career, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Had that Iron Man streak going. But from what I hear from people in the industry that's had performed these type of surgeries on athletes, on football players, they said that there wasn't a risk of re-injuring it with him coming back. He could aggravate it, mm-hmm. but this sounds like he has a similar type injury that is re-injured. So it doesn't seem like a definite cause and effect from him coming back too soon. Now, that's going to be pushed out there because you know how we love to do in the media. We love to build these guys up just to tear them back down. Well, J.J. Watt's gotten to such a high plateau that there's nowhere else he can go, you know, but to start that decline back down. So everyone's looking for somebody to point the finger and the blame. You know, is this on the Texans? Is this on J.J. Watt? No, he's a football player. Football players get paid to play. He wants to be out there on the field with his teammates. He came back, and for whatever reason, it didn't work out. But I don't think he came back too soon to where it caused the injury to bubble back up again.
I mean, okay.
Three-time defensive player of the year, most sacks since 2011. I love the confidence that you have in just the Texans still being able to win that division, because a lot of people, even especially around this office, just like, oh, it's the Colts division now. But the defense has been so good, as you mentioned. But what about this offense? What about Brock Osweiler? How impressed are you with him? But I'm certain that you're not all that impressed with him. But what do you make of this offense so far? Can he continue to take some steps forward? And just touch on Lamar Miller, because 15 touches per game last year with Miami, he's averaging 28 touches per game so far right now, the most touches in all of the NFL, but just not finding the end zone. What do you make of this offense so far you've seen over the first 3 weeks in Houston?
Yeah, this would be more concerning to me if I'm a Texans fan or looking for success for the Houston Texans team, because before he came here, I studied every throw he made for the Denver Broncos last year, and I just saw a mediocre quarterback. And a lot of people wanted to boost him up because he got that $18 million a year, $72 million over a four-year contract, but it doesn't change who you are. The money doesn't make you what you want him to be, and he's just a mediocre quarterback. He's afraid to throw over the intermediate middle of the field, and when he did in that game, Jamie Collins picked him off for the Patriots. You're going to continue to see the struggles. Teams also saw the blueprint that the New England Patriots put out there, like, let's stack safeties over the top and take away DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller and make him beat us with someone else. Make him have long, consistent drives, and that's the Achilles heel for Brock Osweiler, is consistency. He's not a very accurate thrower. He doesn't get through his progressions quickly. And so there's a lot of concern there. And the offensive line and Lamar Miller, this offensive line is going to still try to build chemistry as the year goes along. And Lamar Miller is not like an Arian Foster that they had in the past, who runs off of instinct and vision. He's an accelerating type back, a guy that you have to block the holes, get to the second levels, and if you open the crease, he can maximize that and then a home run threat every time. Well, they need a creator right now, and he's not the type of back that's out there in the backfield creating. So I would be more concerned with the offense than the defense, even with the latest news of J.J. Watt going down.
100%. Only a quarter of their offensive drives result in scoring. They have no rushing touchdowns. But what's going on in the red zone? Osweiler has only completed about 30% of his passes within 20 yards. Is that something on the receivers, or is that just him again? We only have about 30 seconds, so a quick answer.
It's completely on Brock Osweiler, Ash. You look at him, you look at the film, you go back and watch the All 22. The guys are there, the play calls are there. Just Osweiler's not executing. It falls on Brock Osweiler's shoulders.
All right, we got to get out of here, Jason. 10 seconds. Clemson, an underdog at home. Can they pull it off?
Rub the rock, run down the hill, and come out with a win. Clemson Tigers, baby.
We appreciate you, Jason. Thanks so much, and let's get you back on here again soon.
Chris, Ashley, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. See you later.
Right. Yes.
J.J. Watt, man. That's sad.
It is sad.
And it's very concerning that the doctor said that he did not pose a risk of re-injury, just aggravation, but he's re-injured himself to the point where he's probably out for the entire season.
Yeah, and Will Carroll, too, our favorite, the injury expert, had some tweets yesterday, too. If it's that same herniated disc, it's not good news for the rest of his career, let alone just coming back this season.
Chris, man, why do you gotta end on a sad note?
Sorry.
The good news, we're back tomorrow on FST. We'll see you guys later. Thanks for joining us.
That is good news.
Bye.